I've come to realize that, hey, like, I can compare myself to the people around me, or like I can just compare myself to myself and focus on what makes me happy.
Hey everyone, this podcast is specifically for people who are freelancing or aspire to be freelancers one day, because Alexis knows a lot about the topic and can give great advice. Hello, Alexis.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello, Mom, sir.
To my boss. So, Alexis is a design founder, a coach, and a content creator who loves building beautiful things from scratch. He's a co-founder at Swarm, which is a startup that was recently funded and is now seeking to make freelancing just as secure and more fun than a corporate job. He's also a podcast host for his podcast, Roots, which boasts almost 100 episodes with world-class Filipino designers. Lastly, he is a co-founder for UX Plus, which is the largest conference in Southeast Asia on user experience and design. So to kick this off, Alexis, naligo ka na ba?
Oo naman. Naligo ako for you.
Yes.
Specifically for this podcast.
Siyempre, for context,
ikaw rin, diba? Naligo ka na ba?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay.
Nag-ayos ako ng yung buhok ko, tapos nag-pomade, ganun. Tapos nag-deodorant naman para you won't smell it.
Sige.
Yeah. So, how are you feeling? Thanks for being here. What's been on your mind lately?
Feeling great. I think I'm quite energized today. Maybe it's the coffee. Usually it's a lot of meetings, but today it's pretty, you know, free. And that gives me some time to think and like explore and be more creative generally. And I love being here with you, Nate.
Well, huh?
How are you feeling?
Ano ba yung day in the life mo?
My day in the life, usually yun, I wake up, I try to aim for 8 to 9 hours of sleep. Then I need to manage my day. So as a co-founder, that includes managing the team, trying to figure out where we are at in terms of strategy and achieving our monthly goals, and then diving deeper into the work. So that includes making sure that we're hitting our targets per team. And then I do a bit of coaching as well on the side. So once I'm done with all of the Swarm-related things, I coach people one-on-one. And then at night, usually, I just relax and play badminton. And yeah, it just cycles again and again.
Solid. Are you naturally an organized person? Like routine and systems?
I wouldn't say I'm an organized person, but I do like routines. And how I would describe myself is I want to make things easy, and because I'm biased towards action and make sure that things are fast.
Right.
So it's kind of like, maybe that's organized in some sort of way, but because there are people who are more organized than me. But I would say a few things. Like, I just prioritize what's on my calendar. I like to identify what are the top priority things. And as part of my, I guess, my life, I need to make sure that I'm emotionally regulated. So that includes parang how I think. And also, of course, like doing exercise. So I can be sustainable in whatever I do. So that, like, that's part of my, you know, operating system, I guess.
Galing. I like how you pointed out emotional regulation. And knowing you personally, I know you're not just throwing in a random buzzword just for kicks. But then how has that, what do you do in specific, and how does that help you? What do you even mean by emotional regulation? Like, other people will say self-care, mental health. Kung sa'yo emotional regulation, why did you choose those words?
Yeah, so emotional regulation to me starts with asking myself questions and feeling things in my body. So don't take that the wrong way. But like, let's say I'm feeling anxious. The first thing I do is, okay, why am I feeling anxious? I need to identify the source. Second, before doing anything rash, I want to make sure that I'm in a calm, relaxed state. And I make decisions in that state instead. And the way I get to that state is either through badminton or just breathing exercises or taking my mind off what I'm actually thinking of at that moment, like what's stressing me out, or just getting rest. And then after doing all of that, or actually another thing that's big to me is either making music or listening to music. But then after all of that, I find that I'm more effective in decision making. I'm less emotional when dealing with whatever is in front of me. And you'll just find na the anxious is gone at some point. I mean, the anxiety is gone at some point.
Have you always been this self-aware, or was there a turning point?
I've been self-aware in a sense that, hey, I know my strengths and weaknesses. But I think during the past year, after working on my relationships, I've realized that I could grow a lot more and I can handle specific things better. Yeah. I tend to like consuming content that relates to regulating the self. So it may be, you know, medyo hustle culture-ish.
It's healthy.
Yeah, alam mo yun, yung mga stoicism stuff.
No, that's healthy. That's healthy.
Yeah, yeah. Like, only focusing on things that you can control, making sure that you have a clean, you know, slate when you're thinking, managing your stress, not jumping into things when you're feeling high emotions, yung parang when you're angry or when you're disappointed. So you need to control your base first, like, which is how you're feeling. And I don't think I've always been that way. I think the past year has helped me a lot. Because I've went through a breakup, and like several other things, and that was just a turning point for me. Na oh okay, let's say having a breakup is really hard, pala, and how do you even manage this? Because I found out na, for example, like going through a breakup is like physical and psychological hurt to yourself. So parang I was looking at resources. Okay, how do I handle this? How do I become more emotionally mature? And how do I, you know, grow from the experience?
Wow. And siguro jumping from there, when I first met you, I thought that you were, intimidating and even very proud. Getting to know you, I've come to understand na there's a lot of good character that's the foundation for that. Na soft boy ka pala. You're very
boy, okay.
Caring and compassionate for your people and your friends. And honestly, that like being a mentor, like people pay you money for so that you can be their mentor, you know? And you're honestly just confident that you're skilled because you work hard to grow your skill set. So what is it that brought you to that level of healthy confidence? In contrast to, I guess, mine sometimes where I doubt myself all the time. Ganon, like what is a piece of advice that you can give? And what brought you to that state?
I think a lot of people have limiting beliefs that they can't do anything about the situation. And these kinds of limiting beliefs hold you back. You know, that's why it's called a limiting belief. It's holding you back from progressing or growing. So, for example, some TED speaker like refers to this as having a fixed mindset versus a growth mindset, where the fixed mindset, it kind of feels like you're static, you know. This one belief that you are X or you are Y, that, hey, I'm an imposter, I will never grow, or, oh, di ko kaya yung ginagawa nila kasi X, Y, Z. When you start to acknowledge those thoughts, when you become aware of those thoughts in your mind, and then you throw them away, and then you start with language that empowers yourself, like, let's say, hey, I might not be good at X or Y, but I can certainly learn it. So that's the opposite of a fixed mindset, which is a growth mindset. And what I think worked for me is capitalizing on that concept and making sure that I use that like strategically. So I think it's the lack of limiting beliefs for me. Focusing on a growth mindset. And another thing is what I told you earlier about emotional regulation.
Yeah.
Because, you know, knowledge work these days, we're all doing a lot of stuff. It's super stressful. Like, how do you handle that, right? Like, even if you have a growth mindset, setbacks will naturally occur. You will still face a lot of roadblocks along the way. But, like, it's your response to these situations and how you think about the situation that I think will move you forward.
What's a specific example of, in your journey, a limiting belief that you're proud to say, I overcame this?
Perhaps an example is, let's say, going into Ateneo, right? Like, if you think of Ateneo, like, right now, like, world rankings, it's, like, number one in the Philippines or something, diba?
Best school. Then,
yeah, and that ecosystem has a lot of people who came from very prestigious backgrounds. And, you know, it's literally, like, their breeding place for elite people. Right. And when you enter it, when I entered it as someone coming from an average, you know, not so known school, hindi siya feeder school for Ateneo, for example, like it may breed some sort of insecurity, right? Like, hey, you're surrounded by so many talented, genius people that know what they're doing, but then I've come to realize that, hey, like, I can compare myself to the people around me, or like I can just compare myself to myself and focus on what makes me happy. So in that sense, you introduced me earlier as someone who loves building things from scratch, and I'm really into design. So I focus on those things that made me happy and tuned out everything else. And that led me to starting, you know, the first user experience club in the Philippines.
Wow.
Focusing on meeting people in that industry, focusing on mentoring people who want to get in there. And to me, it's really about tuning out the noise, narrowing your focus, and focusing on finding the things that make you happy, or in your belief system, right? Like, ano ba yung values mo? Parang, what's your definition of happiness? So, to me, it's like being able to apply my craft in a very high standard, being able to give advice, mentorship to people who are my peers and my juniors, and like constantly learning from, you know, the people around me. So that's not like a, you know, a specific limiting belief or setback, diba? But I came from some sort of insecurity as well kasi in high school, na I always felt like So in high school, I graduated as the top of my class. Wow. But then during my grad speech, I kind of felt like I had that insecurity that I didn't deserve to be there, or like people were saying that, why is this person our valedictorian, et cetera, et cetera. So I was like, hey, I could take this in a way that, I really am not supposed to be there, or maybe I can just use it as a point to jump off of, where what I did was, okay, maybe I just need to be more self-aware, maybe I can improve on the way I relate to other people. So what I did was just read books like how to influence friends and influence. How to win friends and influence people. I studied a bit more on, taking care of my relationships. And with the growth mindset that I had, I applied those ideas strategically along my career.
Galeng. Did you ever feel like you had to prove yourself to others? And then how did that change over time? And do you feel like you still have to prove yourself to others even now, like compared to your high school days? And then how much of it is also just proving it to yourself?
I think having something to prove is good. And it depends on how you interpret it, right? If this feeling of needing to prove something to other people and to yourself leads to like great outcomes, then it's actually like a healthy kind of stress or force in your life. But then if it's like overbearing, or if it's starting to feel like you can't take it anymore, then having a step back and just reflecting on your scenario works. And I've been there several times. Typically, when I feel the need to prove myself, it's more of the former. Like, hey, cool, like this is an opportunity to prove myself. And because people with imposter syndrome will always be in that situation, right? Like parang, hey, I'm in this situation, I don't know what I'm doing, but this opportunity to prove myself. So with a growth mindset, you can kind of say that this is the opening for me to grow.
Yeah.
And to be honest, proving yourself to other people is just like the cherry on top. But like staying true to your identity, right? Like you talked about pride.
Yeah.
Earlier when you met me for the first time, like staying true to your identity and making sure you live that life or your self-concept, and you stay true to that, that usually gives me a lot of happiness. So if I start feeling like, let's say, just as an example, that I'm not being a design leader anymore, or like I'm slacking off, or let's say I'm not making any huge moves, if my notion of happiness depends on me living that identity out, then I have to go out and prove myself, and that's a driving force. So I think it all depends on how we define what makes us happy in the end. Because what I'm saying is the alternative can also be correct. Like there's no right or wrong way to live life. It all depends on what you really value as a person, right? So if I'm feeling like an imposter, based on my conceptualization of myself, I need to find a way to get out of it. And, I do it step by step. Like, okay, let's say I'm now a chief design officer. like, what does that even mean? Like, how do people even do that, right? And yeah. just earlier, I was looking at the chief design officer of PayPal's LinkedIn, si Daniela, and I was looking at the descriptions she has written for herself. Na, ah, okay, you're in charge of the customer experience and journey across a portfolio of products, and you're facilitating collaboration across different like departments, and at the same time, you care a lot about the diversity in your organization and making sure you're sponsoring like groups that, you know, have the same beliefs. So, you know, now I have like an archetype to follow. Now, okay, now how can I apply that to my own situation in a startup sense?
Galing. I remember you talked about healthy stressor forces. And I believe that what you're talking about just now is like maybe even as simple as setting a goal or a standard for yourself, as opposed to a fixed mindset that says, this is how I am, this is how I always will be. And I think, like, honestly, I think that's what's also brought me a lot of progress in where I am, which is like, di ba, parang you... Sometimes there would be these stories of like job interviews, na parang, do you know this technical skill? Mm-hmm. And then you just say, yeah, I've done it, you know, a couple times. But you really don't. But then like right after the interview, that's when you Google it all. And the mindset there is like, I can learn it. Like anyone can learn anything, especially with the internet nowadays. And so before I met you, I was working solo as a freelancer for 7 years. And one of the hardest things about going solo and freelancing is having to do it alone. For me, when I'm alone, I feel like I don't have enough support and validation from people around me, people to encourage me, give me goals and advice. And so like what in your opinion is a good way to start building a support system around me if I'm going solo in my career?
Finding and creating a support system starts with just looking for one other person who can share your pains, someone who you can talk to and like exchange ideas with. And if you're explicitly looking to build like a support network, starting with that one person tends to grow. You eventually find other people who are in the same scenario. And what I think the path forward is that find people who can add value to that peer group.
Yeah.
Value is subjective, but to me, when I'm asked about, okay, what does value even mean? It can be as simple as someone being able to listen to you and you venting. That's like huge value already.
True.
And we can be a bit more we can say that we can be more tactical, where we can invite people who are more experienced in this area, someone who can complement you, right, in that peer group. So because diversity is really important. Another thing is having a ritual. So I've interviewed a lot of community builders, and what makes a community successful most of the time is having some sort of ritual. So there are people who would do like Wednesday breakfast together, like on a Zoom call, or like me and my friends will like play Dota every Sunday night, like 100% sure, right? Or my badminton friends and I would like play matches together every Tuesday night. And like those rituals build community and they eventually grow.
Yeah.
So for example, that badminton thing that I was a part of, like that started off as like 4 or 5 people. And then like our group chat now is like 100 plus people.
Wow.
Yeah. So my tips are, in summary, don't be afraid to start small. Find your first person that you can relate with and gradually add more people. And to maintain that, you need to have some sort of ritual that's going on. So at a regular cadence.
Are you an introvert or an extrovert?